What up, everybody? Welcome to the Damn Dude Podcast.
Damn, dude.
This is episode 9D, aka 90. Or are we supposed to say 90? 90? 90. With my American Southern California ass accent, I say 9D. Like the number 9 and the letter D. And I just realized that. So welcome to episode 90. Nah, but for real, it's episode 90 of the Damn Dude Podcast. And we got a really motherfucking good episode for you guys. I can't believe this is episode 90. I'm your host, California Cal. We have the conversations that need to be had in a way that'll make you think and say, damn, dude.
Damn, dude.
Damn, dude.
We're here to help entertain, educate, and make an impact. Hopefully leave us, you know, with a different perspective by the end of this. And hopefully our life will be better. So, without further ado, let's get into this. Oh, for those of you who are new, like I said, I'm your host, California Cal. My specialty is I am an absolute fucking master at teaching babies how to save their lives in the water and helping adults overcome lifelong fears. If you want to put it in very layman's terms and kind of like take the glory out of what I do, I can teach kids to swim, or I teach people to swim, but I can do it faster than anybody else on this planet. And what I do and how I do it is unique and different to anything else you've ever seen before. So, this last weekend was Thanksgiving weekend, and this is the whole holiday season. So, this shit gets me fired up, and it triggers a lot inside of me, and it makes me just kind of wooga chaka, wooga chaka. I don't know.
Alright.
So that was a little sample. On YouTube, I just typed in happy holidays, bitch, and that's what came up. So yeah, happy holidays, you bitch. For those who are super holidayed out people, that's cool. But this episode might offend you. Because it's going to encourage you to think about why you do what you do. So, I mean, maybe not. I don't know. That's just my guess. So, excuse me. So, this last weekend was fucking amazing. As far as Thanksgiving, I did not celebrate a motherfucking thing, and it felt so fucking good. Dude, for Thanksgiving, because I talked my shit online, like, earlier in the week, I was like, fuck Thanksgiving. Well, I said something like, yo, celebrating Thanksgiving is like an evil-ass holiday. I don't fuck with it. Now, granted, I understand people who celebrate in modern times and what it's evolved into is something different, right? That's fine. And I'm not hating on anybody who celebrates or celebrated or anything. My thing is... there's a major inauthenticity in this whole fucking holiday thing. And we're going to get into this because this has to do with how we physically live our lives and the level of stress that we incur and the actual money in our pocket. So that's why this episode is important to pay attention to, especially if you find yourself just fucking being spread way too damn thin on holidays and you're not, and it doesn't even feel good, you know? So I talked my shit online on Instagram. I was like, yo, fuck Thanksgiving. I'm not celebrating this shit, blah, blah, blah. The root of the celebration and the holiday, I'm not for, and I don't get down with that. Other people have different this and that, different views and different ways to look at it and interpret it, and that's fine. I've celebrated Thanksgiving in the past, but the thing is something always felt slightly like weird or off to me, and I just didn't like that feeling. On top of that, I always felt compelled or like forced or like, oh, I need to be here, and nah, I really don't. I don't gotta be fucking anywhere that I don't wanna be, dude. That's my motherfucking choice. This is my body, my life. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not, nah, like, you can't force me into your holiday that I don't believe in because you expect that that's what we're supposed to do every year. Well, I expect you to live a life that's dope enough to not need the holidays to be happy and appreciative and grateful every year.
Damn, dude.
Right? So I just want to say, when we speak our truth and we talk our shit respectfully and we think about it, you know, and we know where we stand and where we're coming from and where we're going, that's fucking freedom, dude. And I got to experience freedom for the first time this Thanksgiving because, you know, Thanksgiving 2021, it's like we kind of all understand the Indians got fucked. The Pilgrims were some hoe-ass motherfuckers. And they fucked our shit up, but at the same time, a lot evolved, and we're able to be in the place that we're in now because of that. And I get different lands and whatever conquered through, or sorry, different territories are, you know, they're conquered, so then that becomes the land. That's fine, I get it, right? But at the same time, I don't have to participate and practice in certain things that I don't feel good about. You know what I'm saying? Holidays aren't a big thing to me. So I realize I'm kind of rambling. There's so much I'm excited to talk about. So for Thanksgiving, I recorded a podcast. It's a really, really fucking good episode, by the way. I've been slacking on promoting them on Instagram, but the podcasts, they're here and they keep coming. So I fucking went skateboarding, smoked a gang of weed, recorded that podcast, and went to the skate park, and I had the skate park to myself. I got some fucking Masaman curry, which is like peanut sauce curry, which is my fucking favorite. And I went skating till the lights fucking went out. And I had the skate park to myself. There was like two kids there for like a little bit, but they were cool. We were vibing. It was chilling. But it was absolute freedom. Nobody, I didn't get any fucking, oh, hey, happy Thanksgiving. I didn't get the text. I didn't get one invite. I didn't get none of that shit. And it felt so fucking good.
Damn.
Oh my God, it felt good. So that kind of leads me to the next thing, which is, I think that that this whole Thanksgiving thing and holidays, especially in America, we conform to them because of society's standards. We think, oh, this is what we're supposed to do. This is the American dream. This is how you be an American. But we just often blindly follow stuff here. We don't really like look all the way in America in this day and age. I should say the United States, because South America is America also. In the United States, we're just like go off of emotions, but then we're not even tapped into our emotions. So we kind of just do this whole spiraling, and we try and then we participate in all these weird lies and rituals and all these strange things that don't actually mean anything. So because of this, we have to create all these like lies all year. And it's like, oh, you better be good or Santa is not coming, or you better this or that. It's like, bro, that's bullshit. That's weak ass parenting. Now, I get there's certain situations where, okay, the context of it makes sense. You know, I'm not, when it comes to speaking on parenting, we can dissect and pick apart every little piece of it and say, well, this that way and this that way, because every kid's different, every situation's different, and every context is different. It's like, I can easily understand the context of, you should absolutely never spank your kids. But then I also understand the context of, well, shit, sometimes your kids need a butt whooping. Like, and each kid's different and each person's different and all this. So this is where it gets really trippy, is we like push out these lies, and then when we get there and the kid's not as appreciative, we get upset and we're like, what the fuck, you know? So I see again with the holiday thing, it's like we're hating all year just to live for these handful of days at the end of the year. And to me, that's not real. You know what I mean? It's like you can't do something 90% of the time, and this is being generous, and 10% of it, you're like, this is the best ever. Like, I really appreciate this 10% when you hate 90%. You know what I mean? It's not really it, you know? And this comes from somebody who has really put in the work and struggled and fucking had nothing and had a lot of things. And the truth is better than any thing you could have. So the less lies we tell our kids, elf on a shelf, Santa, tooth fairy, all these things, like, it's fun. You can participate in them. But when they're used as control things and it starts affecting the child's development and psychology and stuff, that's when shit gets really weird. So if you think about it, I think a lot of times why we tell our kid, like, if we look at, my thing is always boiled down to the simplest fractions for understanding. I used to always take thoughts and overthink them. I would always go to over, and this is funny, I listen to a lot of Black thought leaders, and the common thing in their vocabulary is they'll say, oh, you overstand what I'm saying, or you understand what I'm saying, or do you overstand what I'm saying? So I feel like a lot of times we overstand holidays rather than understand. And it's like, we're, no, maybe that's the reverse. Like, we understand, there you go. We understand holidays, but we don't overstand them. So, like, I guess what that would mean is, like, we understand the pieces that we're supposed to do. We kind of get the general roots of it. But if we overstand, it means we over understand, means you get the top and the bottom. Like, you're seeing the top and the bottom of the iceberg. You're not just seeing the top, right? So it's like, you overstand me? I love that phrase, by the way. But unfortunately, a lot of, like, scammer people are starting to use it. But anyway, and that comes from a whole long line of people anyway. I think the first person that used to say it was Malachi Z. York. And there's a lot of shit around Malachi Z. York because he got convicted of, like, 52 counts of rape or some shit like that on kids, or molestation or something. There's so much controversy around this dude's case and all this stuff. Who knows the truth? But it's like, yeah, I don't know. I wasn't around. So anyway, so this whole thing, it's like, well, our kids start understanding, not even just getting it, what these holidays are. And then all of a sudden these holidays become this game, and it becomes this lie, and it becomes a show. Maybe not a lie, but it becomes a show, or it becomes a performance, to where we have to keep doing this performance in order to keep our kids happy. But the thing is, that has nothing to do with our kids' happiness. This has to do with our performance. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, we've set our kids up to wait and expect our performance. And then when they don't enjoy our performance because we're performing it all stressed out, unhappy, and we didn't want to do it the same way that we did the first time, the kids feel that. And they can feel that there's something inauthentic about it. So they, of course, it's a kid's job to test the next level. Hey, I want this. Oh, no Santa. Oh, well, no elf. No this, no that. And it's like, well, why do we keep doing that? And then all of a sudden, as soon as the kid is like, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this, then we're like, shut up, you're a bad kid, you know? I mean, that's pretty extreme, but, well, that isn't extreme. I guess it depends on the context and where you come from. Some people telling their kids to shut up is a normal thing. I don't fuck with that. But I mean, there's classes of people who speak like that to their kids. I don't know. So anyway, I'm looking at it, it's like, why do we tell our kids these lies? Why do we tell ourselves these lies? Why do we do this dance? Why do we put on this show? Why do we put on this performance? And I think it's because we're afraid to actually have to face our kids and their real feelings and real emotions, and our own feelings and real emotions. Because during these holidays, if you don't overcompensate, then what are your kids going to think of you? Oh, my parents don't love me because they didn't buy me Christmas gifts. My parents don't care about me because they didn't, you know, fucking whatever the fucking holiday, right? Whatever the stuff we're supposed to do. But the thing is, if you look at advertising, marketing, and you just look and you apply that vision to holidays and how they're promoted and sold, because holidays in America are not just a ceremony. Holidays in America it's not a ceremony. It's a commercial. It's a sold product. Like, these commercials are a product and a service. It's an idea to live into. So when we live into this, it's like we spend our whole year being slaves to our job to have these couple days. where we have to spend more than what we even earned throughout the year. Because it's like, dude, if somebody earns $20 an hour and they bought you a $100 gift, bruh, that's fucking 5 hours of work. You know what I'm saying?
Damn, dude.
5 hours of work. That's almost a whole day of work. 5 hours. They just gave you a whole day to give you a fucking, if somebody gives you a bottle of liquor, that's fucking 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 plus dollars. Dude, if somebody gives you a sack of weed, if somebody gives you a fucking ugly ass sweater, if somebody buys you a pack of socks, like, dude, they took the time to spend their hard earned money on that shit. But the thing is where this gets all fucky is the obligation that grows and arises. Because all of a sudden there's this obligation to do this or that. And once there's that obligation, how are you supposed to set it back down? Well, shit, I fucking threw the biggest party the first time and the second time and the third time and the fourth time I'm burnt out. I'm getting tired, but you know what? It was worth it. Fifth time, cool. Sixth time, man, I don't want to do this anymore. Seventh time, man, nobody helped clean up. Eighth time, man, nobody said thank you. Man, ninth time, everybody just showed up and expected everything to be done. Nobody even offered to help do the dishes or whatever, and I just spent fucking 2 days cooking. You see what I'm saying? So it's slowly like, it just becomes more and more and more, and it's to a point where it's like, now what? Where's the end point? When do you actually kick back and actually enjoy the fruits of your labor? So that's my thing with this, is like, when we lie to our kids, we end up creating a way bigger disaster for ourselves. Because if you think about this, why are you here? And I think a lot of us tell our kids lies because we don't have the answer. Who are you? Do you love yourself? And why are you here? What is your purpose? Like, do you know what you're here for? You know what I'm saying? Why are you on earth? What is the point of you being here? Now, I'm not saying this on some like, oh, go kill yourself type shit. I'm saying this on like, think, why are you here? What's your fucking point? And if you've got kids, if you got whatever, yes, part of your point is to be there to raise them. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about beyond that, beyond your kids, beyond your family, beyond your job, your title, where you come from, your hobbies, your interests, your preferences. Who are you? Why are you here? Yeah, it's like, okay, so for me, I'm here. Yes, I'm here for my kids. Yes, I'm here for the people that I'm here to help, whatever. But the thing is, I am here to make this world a safer place, provide peace of mind for families, and make sure that the kids have the best opportunity and chance at life possible.
Damn, dude.
That's why I'm here. I'm here to spread positivity and I'm here to spread reality. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to spread reality. And that's what my vessel is for. Because our bodies are just on consignment. We're just leasing these. We're just renting them. Like, they're not even ours. Because as soon as we die, they fucking just go back and then new ones come. You know what I'm saying? It's like, we're just renting this thing. Like, what's it for? What is your fucking pile and bag of flesh walking around, your bag of flesh and bones, what is it for? What is it here to do? Now, I'm not saying we all need some great, huge, noble cause and this and that. We're all not going to discover something like that. But the closest thing that most of us can do is to take the time to discover who we are, what we love, why we love it, and why are we who we are? Because then we no longer have to lie to our kids, because then we know who we are. And when you can stand with the truth and stand with reality, we don't need to tell stories to compensate for something else. Because if you told your kids the reality, like, what if you just didn't think about this? What if you just didn't tell your kids there was Santa? What if you just never said, hey, he is or isn't real? What if you just never said anything about it? Like, my parents never told me Santa's coming. This, maybe, I don't know. But I remember at a very young age being like, this doesn't make sense. You know, like, and I remember asking, and my parents, they would never say yes or no, because I was probably like, maybe like 5 or 6, maybe younger, I don't know, when I would start asking, hey, is Santa real, this and that? And they'd be like, Well, what do you think? That would always be the answer. Well, what do you think? Huh? Well, if that's what you believe, then you can believe that. And I'll be like, fuck, but you tell me. And they're like, well, we can talk. You know, it was like they kept it real with me or let me use my own common sense and deducting, right? It wasn't like, at the same time, you got to be careful because it's like some kids are fucking raised in these lies. And it's like, if your kid goes and tells that kid, hey, bro, Santa is fake. Like, how's he? You live in an apartment with no chimney. Like, how does he come to your house? Wait, yeah, mom, my house doesn't have a chimney. How the fuck does Santa get down my house? He comes through your window. Oh, like a robber? Like, you know, it's like, bro. So when we don't do the work on us and we don't know where we come from or why we're here, then it's like, what's even the point? You know what I'm saying? We don't need to do all this tripping or lying or whatever. It's not like for me, one of my favorite things is I had this when I was a kid and it felt good. And I do this for my kids. Hey, you guys want to celebrate Christmas this year? Like, it's all good. Or, yeah, that'd be cool. What kind of Christmas do you want? You want a fucking tree, presents, this and that? And I asked my kid this a little while ago, because we don't really do holidays, but like I said, I'm open to it. But at the same time, I'm equally as open to not, because why not, you know? Now, this can change as I get older. Nothing's permanent, but this is how I see this and how I have seen this, and I like it. And I asked my kids, like, dude, what type of Christmas do you want? Because there was Christmas before where we fucking were surfing in Hawaii when we lived there. Another Christmas, it was like we bought a tree, did all the decorations, fucking got presents, the whole thing. Other times I'm like, bro, you want something or you want to go and do some shit? You want an experience or you want something? And it's like, And it's cool because there's been enough instances to now where my kids usually like, ah, man, like, of course I want something. Like, that'd be cool. But at the same time, going somewhere is just always cooler. And I'm like, I'm telling you, bro, like, we can go to the desert. We can go here. We can go there. We can do all this stuff. And it's like, whoa. And I love it because the first few times I had asked my oldest son that, he's like, like, he's thinking about the game he wants or the guitar he wants or the whatever, right? But then then the other thing that I ask my son is, I don't bring Christmas to them or gifts or birthday presents to them as if it's some automatic thing. Like, I do my best to just buy my kids stuff randomly throughout the year when they do good stuff or I just feel like it. That's really what I think is when I feel like it. And I think that's when gifts should be purchased, is when you feel like it. And most of us don't actually feel like it around Christmas. We just feel obligated. Feeling obligated is different than feeling like I really want to do this, right? So I always ask my kid, hey, what do you want for your birthday? And he'll be like, And then before he'll even answer, I'm like, but hold on. What do you think you deserve? Or he'll say it and I'll be like, well, are you deserving of that? And a lot of times he'll be like, and he'll really, really think about it. And I'll be like, you know, I really think I do. And I'm like, you know what? I believe you, and I fuck with self-confidence. So if you're confident enough to tell me that you deserve that, I fuck with that. But if you cannot tell me, honestly, if you can't look me in the eye, if you can't stand with your fucking chest up and shoulders back and tell me straight to my face that you don't deserve it, then that's almost like flips the script and it almost makes you deserving, because it's like, well, fuck, now we're in honesty, and that's the base of what we need to fucking do anything. So, you know what? Because you were real with yourself, I got you, bro. Or we'll do a modified version of it. Because you can't just fuck up, admit you fucked up, and then win the prize. It doesn't work like that. You know what I mean? If you fuck up, you fucked up. But the thing is, when you get real, it restores integrity, and you can come back and you get a second chance. So that's the thing, is like, dude, this all affects how I view my kid, which is, how do I view myself? How do I view societal standards? And how do I view life? Like, is it just happening to me? Is it happening for me? Is it happening through me? Like, is it what, you know? Now, that can go a lot of different ways, but This ties directly into the way that we analyze ourselves, ties directly into how we label our kids and kind of fuck them up in a big sense because of these labels. And these labels only exist because we didn't do the work to understand ourselves as parents. So we're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna be right back.
Damn, dude.
All right, what up, everybody? Welcome, Bicycle.
California Cal.
That's me. I'm your host with the most. I don't know. So let's just fucking get right back into this. And also, special shout out because we got show suggestions again. And I appreciate these because this shit is motherfucking good. So let's really fucking jump in and start tearing this shit apart and digging into this because this is all related. What the heck does that say? Oh. Okay, so I can read my own writing, dude. I was like, what the fuck am I talking about? So, I'm trying to think what you want to go with this first. Let's go here first. So, as far as how I explained my Thanksgiving earlier, where it was just freedom because I broke society's standards and I was outside by myself. Dude, do you know how good it feels to have a whole city to yourself? You probably don't because... honestly, every time I'm fucking out here by myself, I'm the only motherfucker out there. So, like, practically. So, this is the thing is, I don't know why or what this is, but I love being in places where other people just aren't. You know what I mean? Especially when they're supposed to be there and they're not, but I'm there. And I catch myself in scenarios like this all the time, and I love it. Oftentimes at work, I'm the only person in my position. Like, I'm just fucking standing in the pool in wintertime, like, waiting for these kids, or I'm walking through these big buildings all fucking wet with my clothes, and just all these different scenarios that are really weird that other people aren't ever gonna really find themselves in. So... I realize, I'm like, dude, I love being outside of society's little standards. You're not supposed to go surfing at night. Well, then what am I doing? Like, you're not supposed to go running here at night and go here and go there. I'm like, well, then what am I doing? You know what I'm saying? It's like, well, if you're not supposed to, why? Then how am I doing it? And why am I having so much fun? So that's how I live my life. Like, I'm always like that on my motorcycles, too. It's like, I'm on the road when there's nobody else. I don't know. It's cool. So what I see is that, like, we care so much about society's standards that we've physically tailored ourselves and our lives to go by that. It's like, well, it's Thanksgiving. That means it's cold, it's dark, and it's a holiday. You need to be with whoever and you need to be wherever. And I'm like, no, I don't. That's how I see shit. That's how I see shit. So what that kind of leads me to is, like, I look at relationships and marriages, and then I see how society puts its spin and twist and impact and weight. Society puts its weight on couples and relationships and marriages. And the thing is why do the majority of our relationships have an expiration date? But when we find somebody to get married, it doesn't. Now, this could be answered a lot of ways, right? There's a lot of directions we can go with this. We can go to, sanctity of marriage. I don't know. The specialness of marriage, you know, religion, God, the Bible, all this stuff. People adhere to that. Oh, the Bible says blah, blah, blah. Well, do you realize that the Bible's been interpreted so many times? Like, which one did you read? Which version? Where'd it come from? What language did you read it in? And it's like, so if you're basing all of it off one book, that's weird to me because there's other books that talk about the same shit that, but it's still different. You know what I mean? So the way I see this is that, dude, okay, the whole marriage and church and all of that, that's cool. I respect it. At the same time, I have more questions. It doesn't just that's just not the end. That's not the final answer. You know what I'm saying? And I don't really fuck with a lot of that because a lot of it, again, is commercialized. There's a direction that it's leading you to. I see the marketing. I see marketing very quickly in things. So sometimes relationships just run their course. And I think the same thing happens with marriage. Like, but the thing is society, the same way we're supposed to attend Christmas and we're supposed to attend Thanksgiving, and we're supposed to attend New Year's and we're supposed to do this. We're supposed to stay with the same person forever. And I think the idea is, now this is very tinfoil hat conspiracy shit, but it makes sense, which is if a lot of the stuff that we say is control really is control, then this adds up. So like, let's say TV is considered mind control. Let's say school is considered a form of control, or jobs, the American dream. If all of that is some form of control, I think this is related. It's like, nope, you're supposed to stay with the one person that you're unhappy with forever. Why? Like, most couples are unhappy. And I don't say that out of being bitter or this or that. This is just a real observation. Most are not happy and they're sick of each other. And it sucks because they just feel obligated and they're so worried about what society has to say and do and think and feel about their fucking business that they're scared to fucking stand up and say, this is who I am. This is what I'm here for. This is the purpose and point of my body. I'm not here to be a slave to you. I'm not here to be a slave to my fucking self. I'm not here to torture myself. I'm here to create a loving, growing, lasting relationship. But what does lasting relationship mean? That's a very loaded word. Like, almost every person I know, not almost, every person I've known and have ever met, we've all been growing and outgrow each other at different capacities and different points and in different areas of life at different times as we live. And that's just some real shit. It's like, I have best friends who we're definitely not even close to on the same page at this moment. I have people who I was never cool with or like, not very cool with, and all of a sudden we're like, yo, we're hell on the same page right now. It's weird. I don't make it mean anything. I think that's another thing, is a lot of us make things mean things. But the thing is, we don't know what the fuck anything means anyways, so we're just talking shit. So these people who say hurtful things and pass judgment and all this, they don't matter. They just are, the more somebody has something to say about something, the more that they are not complete with that themselves.
Damn, dude.
You know what I'm saying? So the less that we are complete with ourselves, the more judgment that we pass, and the more we have to follow these societal standards and these societal norms and all this shit. Man, fuck that, dude. Like, that's why it's so much better to discover your truth and then spit that shit and live into that shit. And that's something that I'm discovering. I've always been a bit of a people pleaser, being the nice guy, this, that. But nah, you know what? Fuck that, dude. I'm not afraid to tell people, fuck you. Like, yeah, I got love all tattooed on my face. And that means I got love for every being to exist as a being. Because think about this real quick. I was going to go deep in this, but I'm going to just kind of just toss this in there real quick. Which is, like, when people die, it's not sad. And we fuck that up. Because society's label of death, we think it's a bad thing. More people die than are born, and more people have died than are born, and we act like it's this crazy thing, and we act like it's so sad, but the reality is, it's selfish as fuck to be like, oh my god, I'm so sad. You can feel sad, but when you go acting, and like when you outwardly go acting sad on purpose and not just feeling sad, it's selfish because, now I know this is a hard pill to swallow, but it's selfish because has nothing to do with you. That person's death has nothing to do with you. Now you're making it all about yourself. Oh, I'm gonna miss them so much. Why are you crying? Because you're gonna miss them. Well, aren't they in a better place? If somebody is in a better place, why are you so sad? If you really love somebody, you'd be happy that they're in a better place. So now let's take, for example, you're dead, you die. let's say in the realm of death and spirit world, whatever, in the ether, let's say that the person who died is hanging there and they're fucking it, they're partying heaven. And let's say no time doesn't exist there or whatever. Let's say only 2 minutes went by. So let's say from the point that person died, 20 years went by, but in that world, it's only 2 years. So that by the time you die, you just show up and it's like, hey, what's up? And it's like, no time went by. What is there really to be fucking sad about, right? So I know that's not a common way to look at life and death, but what happens is when we can flip the script and really look at the true label that we have on ourselves, we can stop labeling our kids, because as adults, we label our kids and other people's kids way faster than anything. So all of these holiday lies and societal lies and all of these things ties directly into when we label our kids as good or bad because we judge them off their emotional needs.
Damn, dude.
I didn't write that. I mean, I wrote it down, but I didn't come up with that. That's fucking genius. Dude, like, we have been and we do and we are often labeling our kids off their emotional needs. That's mind-blowing to me.
Damn, dude.
So thank you for that, by the way. That shit is good. Like, that's crazy. Oh, man. Like, I just saw my whole life right now. Like, I was judged off my emotional needs, which communicated to teachers and staff that I was stupid because I'm so hurt, I'm so broken, I'm going through school just suffering with not understanding death or life. And that's what's scary. It's like when you're a little kid, oftentimes you just don't understand life. But when I was a kid, I experienced death at such a young age that I didn't understand life or death. So I was kind of like in this like middle ground of like, which one's life? Which one's death? Like, when does it happen? Where's the switch? You know, is there just a button that presses? Like, so what happens is I started getting labeled as stupid or a bad kid because I wasn't a bad kid. I just wasn't with their program. And I guess when you're not with their program, that makes you seem like a bad or dumb or, you know, kid who's not very smart. So the mental effects of labeling our kids based off of their emotional needs equals them growing up and suppressing all of their emotions. Because if I'm taking the time to heal from my little sister, my great aunt, and my grandma dying in the same month, if I'm taking the time to feel what I need to feel through that as a child, and you're telling me that I'm stupid and I get bad grades because that's how I feel. When I get older, do you think I'm going to want to express that? Fuck no. I'm going to want to bottle that shit up as far down as it goes, swallow that, keep it at the pit of my stomach, and let that shit become diabetes or cancer or some shit. You know, or early hair loss or fucking extra fat or whatever the fuck. You know what I'm saying? That's how this happens. So if you look at a lot of people, especially that I'm 35, people my age right now, There's a big thing happening. You either already have or you're turning into this super old person to where or the other people are taking care of themselves and they're getting younger and younger and younger at this age. So you can say genetics, this and that, but at the same time, if you took care of yourself, it will show. So when we can take care of ourselves, that shows something within us. And it's like, well, somebody who takes care of themselves is more likely to take care of their kids and raise their kids off of a way that's just healthier in general. So if you look at people, these people who turned older, look at what's going on. A lot of them have suppressed their emotions. They fell into the American dream, the fucking house, the fence, the wife, the 2.5 kids and the blah, 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 all that shit. That's fine. But how many people are truly happy because of that? I don't believe that's possible. I don't think a house and I don't think kids and I don't think a wife make you happy, or a husband or whatever, right? Like, I don't think that makes you happy. And if that does make you happy, you've settled and you've just decided. And I think those relationships work. The ones where both people have settled very early, where they're like, you know what? I'm not trying to do anything bigger or better. I'm not trying to do anything bigger or better. Cool, let's fucking just ride this out for the rest of our lives. We'll fucking, you know, go to fucking the movies and breweries and watch fucking TV and this and that and all this. And it's like, and we're going to, you know, it's like we're going to go to these conventions every year and this and that. And that's going to be the rest of our life. We'll work and then we'll live for the holidays. It'll be cool. And if that really does it for you, that's cool. That's not for me, though. And it's not for a lot of people. It's not for most people, because most of us know and feel that we have a higher calling or a bigger purpose to serve, or just this sense that we're here for something bigger than just doing everyday mundane tasks. Like, if you were an ant, which ant would you pick to be? Would you pick to be the worker ant, the fucking warrior ant, the queen bee, the whatever, right? The thing is, if you can comprehend that question, then as a human, you get to pick.
Damn, dude.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, if you look at those ants and you say, which one do I want to be? Which would I be? Ask yourself that as a human. Like, well, shit, which one would I be? Am I just a worker ant? Do I just fucking go to work, come back, go to work, come back? They don't care if I get cut in half. They're just going to keep fucking going. Or is it like the queen? Like, if somebody fucks up the queen or somebody fucks up one of the soldier ants, like, are they going to come back and mend them, or are they just going to leave them out to fucking die? Like, they take care of them. You know, same thing. The queen bee, if the queen dies, everything's all fucked up. So we can ask ourselves, which one do I want to be? You know, do I just want to be this back and forth, or do I want to be a big deal? Do I want to make a difference? Do I want to make an impact on my community? You may not want to. But the thing is whether you want to make an impact on your community or not, it starts with self, and it starts with working on self. So how do you do that is, for one, we got to shake the labels that society and our parents and our teachers put on us. And that's something that I've been up to this past few years, is unlearning. That's one of my favorite words, is unlearning. Unlearn to relearn, unlearn to relearn, unlearn to relearn. That's my constant state. I know nothing always, and that's the smartest state that I can be in, is knowing nothing. Because if I know nothing, that means I'm open to learning. And if I'm open to learning, that puts me ahead. That puts me ahead farther than just already knowing stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'm never trying to just already know stuff. Sometimes I do and I can't help it, because experience just dictates that. But I don't want to just know, you know? So the thing is when we sit here and label kids and we judge them, oh, you're good because of this, you're bad because of that, I notice it does two things. Some kids, now this is, I want to say this the right way, but I guess it doesn't matter also. I haven't really sorted this out in words yet, so bear with me if it comes out wacky. I think that, Fuck, man, I don't even know where to start with this. Like, I don't know. I should probably just keep talking, though, because we don't edit this shit. So we need something to keep us moving here. Okay, so I feel like, or I notice, or I observe, and I feel for myself that there's certain amounts of labeling and suppression that are good. Now, I mean that in the sense that me being called stupid by more than one teacher and adult felt terrible for so many years. But for the past like 5, 6, maybe 12 years, it's felt amazing. Now, why do I say that? Because it's pissed me off so much that I refuse to identify with that. Now, here's the thing. Had it been lesser and not as sharp, if it just stung me enough, but it didn't really hurt all the way, it probably would, that information would probably be a hindrance to me and not a motivator to me. You get what I'm saying?
Damn, dude.
So it's like certain amount of, hey, you fuck up, is good. But the thing is, too much is not good, and not enough is not good.
Damn, dude.
So this is really trippy, because I forget the statistics, but it's something like, this is very general, but the majority of successful entrepreneurs and people who've, not even entrepreneurs, let's say the majority of high, very successful people, and I'm not talking money, I'm talking like attitude, perseverance, and money, and like being a good person to, and to society, that is worth more than anything. So what happens is, like, when you're pissed off enough or you've been hurt so much, it turns into fuel. But the thing is, if you weren't hurt enough or you were hurt too much, then all of a sudden it's not fuel. So this is the thing. There's a lot of studies going on to where, but the thing is, you can't, because it's like, we're not trying to do any studies where it's like we're purposely treating kids bad just to find out what happens. You know what I'm saying? In hopes that they'll be successful. And I don't think that that's people's angle, is to like, I'm going to tear my kid. Oh, no, that's some people's angle, actually, where it's like, I'm going to tear my kids down so much that it pisses them off to a point where they're like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going to get this. And I realize that because I think my dad kind of does that to me a little. And I notice I do that to my son a little, where there's things where I'm kind of just like, hey, figure it out. And he's like, fuck. And then it's, but it's like, cool. You know, it's like, no, this is a good one of those. So the thing is I think that it depends how deep that cut goes, because sometimes that deep cut is exactly what's needed. So I think when your kids go through shit, don't mask it, don't pretend, don't tell some story about it or whatever. Actually dive into it, ask real questions. How does this make you feel? What do you think about this? How does that affect blah blah blah? If you could have, if blank happened, what would blank look like? If you had blank, what would happen with blank? If what would it look like if blank was possible? What would it feel like if blank was possible? Like, those sorts of questions help heal and help bring things out of kids. And I think a lot of times adults, we try and fix it for our kids rather than listening to them and letting them do the healing. We're trying to be like, give the advice, give the advice, give the advice. Boom, Band-Aid done. I'm out. And it's like, your kid's still bleeding and feels like shit and is still confused. You know what I'm saying? They still got a skinned knee, but you're like, oh, it's fine. Like, he stopped crying. And it's like, nah, dude, there's way more to that. And you can only discover that by asking certain questions and listening. But the thing is, as parents, we, or adults even, we don't know what questions to ask if we have not asked ourselves these questions first.
Damn, dude.
Bruh, that was fucking sick. You know what I'm saying? It's like, a lot of times we label kids because we haven't figured ourselves out. And if I haven't figured myself out, then I have to put that on you. If the way that I see the world is everybody's out to get me, then I have to view every person as, oh, they're out to get me. So I'm going to put that on my kids. If I'm one of those people where I think everyone's out to get me, I got to tell my kids, hey, people are out to get you. Fucking women are liars, men are dogs, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like I could do this whole thing and just put all my fears into my kids and it's not going to help them. I'm thinking it is. I'm giving them game. No, the reality is I'm giving them pain. I'm giving them baggage. I'm not giving them freedom. I'm giving them baggage. So that's the thing, is when we lie to our kids and we label our kids and we've figured out who our kids are, we're giving them our baggage. That's it in real time. When we say, when we, you know, it's like when we like, what are you doing? Like all these things, like that's all the reflection of us and our unhealed baggage. And oftentimes the way that we yell our kids or get frustrated with them is the same way that our parents yelled at us or didn't yell at us, or, you know, whether you had parents or not, or it's what you wanted or whatever. So the thing is we keep passing on this generational baggage, and that's how it works, is through these labels, and we say, oh, he's good at this, bad at that, whatever. Nah, how do you even, it's beyond that. Like, you don't even know, you know what I'm saying? Let your kids show you. And I think a lot of us, at a certain, it's like once our kids are past like 4, 5, 6 years old, it, and I mean even earlier, even at 2 years old, it's like, and even younger, they show us. But the thing is, we're sitting here trying to show them, trying to show them, trying to show them. But it's like, nah, dude, it goes both ways. And I think that when we take the seating position of, all right, I'll drive, now I'll let you drive. Now I'm going to kind of help you drive, but I'm going to kick back. And then, and you take turns, you know what I'm saying? And I think that when you let your kids drive the vehicle of learning and truth, then you take turns driving that vehicle, and then eventually you both know how to drive and you're fucking chilling. So what happens is, in the midst of truth, you don't have to go fucking lie to your kids about Elf on the Shelf and go fucking run to the store at 2 a.m. or fucking run into the scrounging the attic at in the morning and all this, right? Or it late at night to find this shit and keep up the lie and keep up the whatever. Like I said, there's nothing wrong with doing these little games and all this stuff. That's cool. You know, it's fun. It's cute. But at the same time, if you don't have those, are you going to be okay? Is everything going to be fine still? Will your kids be okay? Will you be okay? Like, or did you just pass on, we have to do this? Like, why? What's so important about it? Because the kids need it. It's like, did you even ask the kids if they wanted to do that this year or not? Do they even care? Or are they just surprised because you're like, hey, look how cool this is. Look how cool this is. It's the same thing. I remember when I was a kid, my uncle, I went to the movie theater with my uncles, like my two youngest uncles, I guess. And I remember we went, my older uncle Leroy, he was like, so I went to the movies with my uncle Leroy and Arthur, and Leroy's older than Arthur. And Leroy's like, he wanted to watch Speed or Speed 2 or something. This is back in the 90s. He wanted to watch the movie Speed. So the Keanu Reeves movie with the bus and the whole thing, which is a great movie, by the way. He wanted to watch Speed. My uncle Arthur wanted to watch Scary Movie. He was all in the scary movies. So I'm just a little kid. I'm like, I'm just following them around. You know, I think my uncle Leroy just got his license. My uncle Arthur's a few years older than me. And I'm just like the little rugrat tagging along. And I remember the way that my uncle asked me, Arthur, he's like, Cavs, he's like, all right, because we're trying to figure out what movie to watch. And this is actually in Mira Mesa at Vinh Hung at the Mira Mesa Edwards 7, which is now Vinh Hung, the Vietnamese market. But back when it was a movie theater, I remember Arthur, he's like, Cavs, you want to watch? He's like, all right, so we'll just let Calvin decide. And we're like, all right, cool. So he goes, Cal, what do you want to watch? Some stupid movie about a bus? Or some sick movie with monsters and all these people and they're driving and jumping and doing all this cool stuff. He's like, dude, it's so sick. Which one you want to see? And I'm like, well, obviously, the one with all the cool monsters and that's the one that's sick. Not, oh, some stupid bus movie. Like, but I feel like that's what we do to our kids. Oh, Christmas. You want to celebrate Christmas? Or, not, you know, be a loser. And it's like, hold on, wait, what? Like, when did that become the option? Like, so I think that when we do that shit, we're like putting it onto our kids we're putting that on them, and they have to respond with what they have to respond with. So I think when it comes to these holidays, ask yourself why you're doing this. Who taught you to do this? And what's the point? What's the purpose? And what are your kids learning from this? What are you learning from this? Are they even going to remember this in 3 days? Are you going to remember this in 3 days? You know what I'm saying? Are you doing it for a picture opportunity? Or are you doing it because you really love this and there's some sort of magic that exists? Or is it fake magic? Is it something that actually will carry you through the rest of the year and make you feel good? Is it worth spending all your money? Is it worth spending all your time? So I encourage everybody to just think about these things, because when we do this, we have freedom. And when we have freedom, we don't have to put that on our kids. And when our kids don't take on our baggage and our bullshit, it feels motherfucking good, because they don't deserve that. And neither does the rest of the community. This is how we build more Karens and all this shit, is by keep telling our kids lies and this and that and this and that and this and that. And I ain't with that shit. I'm gonna tell my kids the motherfucking truth all the time. And that's what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, what other fucking option are there? The more you lie to our kid, the more we lie to our kids, the more they got to do therapy. There's nothing wrong with therapy. Everybody should, actually. It's a great thing. Find the right therapist, though. Otherwise, it's terrible. And you'll hate it. But find the right one. But can you imagine if our kids didn't need to? If they just didn't need to? If they had enough clarity and information and cleared up generational baggage that they could just do what the fuck they want. They could travel the world. They could do what they want, go where they want, and fucking have what they want. Those are the type of people that I'm out to raise and I want to see. And freedom, happiness, love, success, expression, honesty, that's what the fuck we're creating out here in this motherfucker. So you can expect that me to try and raise my kids under that context. We got to be free motherfucking humans. If you want to celebrate, celebrate. If you don't, don't. And don't feel bad for either motherfucking one of them. on that note, man, hope you guys have a beautiful day. This has been a dope ass show. Make sure you leave us a 5-star written review anywhere that you can do that. Apple Podcasts, all that good stuff. Hope you guys have a beautiful day, Rooster Tail. Take us out. Much love, everybody. Peace.
Damn, dude. Damn, dude.
Damn, dude. Appreciate you guys. Much love. Peace.